Amen. All right. Well, we are doing family-style worship today, so the kids are going to stay in here. If you do need to take someone to nursery, you can do that now. So we're all going to stay in here for service together. A few people will be heading out to work in the nursery. Take their kids. You can do that. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Exodus 20. All right. I'm going to need a couple volunteers today. Let's see. All right. So I need a couple volunteers. Let's see. How about Deacon? Come on up, Deacon. And Charlie. Because I know. Hey, what happened this weekend?
My birthday was yesterday.
It was your birthday yesterday. All right. Charlie, what happened with you this weekend?
Birthday.
A birthday. I didn't plan that, but I saw the two of them. And I thought, hey, this will work. Actually, I'm going to need you guys to come down here and stand side by side. We're going to do a contest. Yep, you think you can win?
Sure.
Think you can win?
It depends on what contest.
Well, all right, I'll tell you what kind of contest. All right, so we're going to have the sitting contest. You know how to do that? I want you guys to, you go down with your legs parallel to the ground. Can you do it, Deacon? Go down, and let's see who can hold that the longest. And I'm going to do it between the two of you because I'm going to be out really quick. All right, so we're going to see who can go the longest. All right, you know what? I think we just say, they beat me. I didn't know it would go this long. Good job, guys. Good job. Give me five. Give me five. All right, here you go. Here's a little prize. I don't know if you guys will be able to walk later, but there's a little prize. There you go. Great, great job, guys. Awesome. Awesome. So why couldn't you guys keep going? Why couldn't you keep going? It's easier to sit in a seat. Yes, that's right. Your legs got tired, right? You're not made to just keep using your leg muscles like that over and over and over again. We get tired. And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, is that we're not made to go without resting. We're created to be dependent on God. And so a lot of times we start going through life just trying to hold ourselves up, right? Like, just keep going, 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 and we're wearing out. So as we've been in a series on the family, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is the rested family, right? Anybody feel like you just get spread so thin, you kind of get spread all over the place, you're going, 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 and sometimes you just need to rest. Sometimes you need to stop. You know, Brian, get an amen. You know, sometimes you're holding yourself up, and maybe you could keep going, but you need to stop, get a break, and come back and you can do it again later. It's a great reminder that we are dependent creatures. God created us to be dependent on Him. So we need to rest, and ultimately we need to rest in Him. So I want to look at some passages of Scripture today that help us understand this calling to rest, and also look at some ways that we can rest, like, you know, we'll talk about the place of rest, and then, okay, how do you do that? What does it look like? So, we're going to start reading. You probably know this passage. It comes from the Ten Commandments. We're going to start reading in Exodus 20, verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So that's the word of the Lord. So in this passage we see a couple things. One, we see that that there are boundaries in life. Good to know there's boundaries. We need to have boundaries. There are times we do certain things, and it's appropriate. There's times we don't do certain things. We want to make sure that we don't confuse those at times. It's also a reminder that the way you use your time is important to God. The way you use your time, it's important to Him. It matters. You know, we talk about living all of life to the glory of God. Sometimes we think about all these other things, that, you know, time is just another thing that we steward for God's glory. We see very clearly that it matters how we use that time. There's times to work, there's times to rest. This passage also shows us that there are sacred times. There are sacred spaces. Sometimes, we're in this weird time in life where, I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's like you can work from anywhere, right? You know, man, hey, I'm gonna go to the beach this week. I'm gonna work from the beach. It's great. You're working from the beach. But it also starts to blend, like, you're working, are you working or are you resting? Kind of neat that we can work from somewhere else, but a lot of times, it means that we never really rest, right? It means you're away, but you're still thinking about work. It means that you're away, but you're still checking your phone, checking the emails, checking to see what's going on with customers. We can kind of, no longer these distinct colors. You know when you're little and you're supposed to color in the lines? You know, hey, that's supposed to be blue and this is supposed to be yellow. But then you just kind of start smearing it all together and it's just kind of like this blue, yellow, green smudge. Ever do that? Like, what is it? Sometimes we need to have some distinction, some separation in our time and how we're using it. This passage reminds us that we need to do that. There's times that we separate things, times to work, times to rest. So I want to look first, just as we talk about rest, you see rest used a few different ways in the Bible. So we'll look at different types of rest. So the first type of rest, next one, special rest. We'll just kind of call it that. I didn't really know what to call it. You know, when you read the Bible, you'll read about some of the feast that they had in the Old Testament. Remember that? Anybody remember what they did on those feasts? What do you think they did at a feast? Eat. Anybody with me on that? I like to eat. That's one of my spiritual giftings. I like to eat. So if you want me to exercise my spiritual gifting, just say, hey, Keith, we're going to have a party. We're going to have some barbecue, and we're going to have all this fun stuff. These feasts, they would have food. They would take multiple days off of work. Sometimes it was 7 days, a week or more. They would rest. It was this special time. And it would be, you know, they're there with their families. They're having lots of food, but they're also inviting other people. They would invite some of the foreigners, some of the aliens, the people that didn't live there, sometimes the people that were just struggling in life. They'd have them all over to their house. And they said, we're going to celebrate what God has done. It's pretty neat, right? You know, Charlie Deacon had a birthday. You know, you have a birthday. Hey, let's invite people over. Let's celebrate. Memorial Day weekend, kind of a way to do that. You know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, those holidays. It's a way to celebrate. Isn't it neat to know that God's interested in us celebrating and rejoicing with what he's made and sharing that with other people? Really cool to think about. So that's the first one. The next one, daily rest. We just need to rest on a daily basis. You get tired, you know, you're at school all day long. You're like, man, I just want to go home and take a nap. Anybody there? Few nappers. Who's a napper? Raise your hand if you're a napper. All right, we got a few people. Yeah, you know, we need to rest on a daily basis. It's really neat. Next slide. This is from Genesis 1:5. Remember, God created the world. You know, he creates. He says, let there be light, and there's light. And it's, you see this rhythm of him creating, and then you see a rhythm of him resting. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. It's neat, after God creates, there's just kind of this pause at the end of each day. You know, there was evening and there was morning. He pauses. He's not doing anything in that time other than sustaining the world, but you know what I mean. You know, he's not actively creating the stars and everything else. There's this rhythm of rest. You see that with Jesus. You know, he's out healing people, ministering, but he would take time. He'd pull away. He'd go spend time in prayer early in the morning. It's good to have that. You should have times where you're just being refreshed on a daily basis, getting in God's word. Maybe you go for a walk, just get a little time away. You need refreshing. I think I shared with you a quote that I heard from a counselor. He said, burnout is the result of not experiencing daily renewal. We need that daily renewal. If you're starting to burn out, starting to wear out, just think. It's like, wait, have I taken a break? Have I pull back? Have I just turned the phone off and stopped worrying about some of those things? We need daily rest. The next one we'll talk about is weekly rest. And this is, of all the types of rest, you read about this most in the Bible. So if you want a kind of a theology of rest, what does that look like? Study the Sabbath. We'll talk about it a little bit. Weekly rest, the Sabbath, one day a week, and it was to be devoted to God. So it's one day, you take off, you rest on that. Now, if we're going to rest on one day, what do we have to do the other 6 days? Work, right? I mean, we've talked about that some. God created us to do what? Work. Created us to rest, created us to work. So if you're going to rest on one day, you've got to work the other days. You know, sometimes we don't like to work, do we? What are some of the jobs? Who's got a job? Anybody have a job in the house? Brooks, do you have a job? What's your job? Working? Do you have any chores? Anything that you have to do each day? No, he does. Good older brother right there. Anything that you do? Clean the napkins? He what? He eats sugar. Laurel, how about you? Help me out. Wash the dishes. There you go. Hayden, what's your job? Empty the dishwasher. Peyton? Babysit. That's a great job. Yep. You get to go and help somebody else. Do we have another over here? Maybe. Anybody? Thought we had one. Lydia? What's that? Sweep the floor. That's great. Those are all different. Yep. One more. Clean up the toys. That is a good one. Yes. Clean your room. You know, those are all different ways that we work. God has created us to work. You know, we look at God in creation of the world. Genesis 1, he's creating. He's bringing light and order and goodness to the world. You know, you keep hearing that over and over again. Genesis 1, you know, he creates and he saw it was good. Saw it was good. So way you can do that, man, you need to bring some order to your room, right? Parents, can we get amen? Bring some order to that room. Bring some order to the living room. You know, order it. Bring goodness, light, life, order. You see all those things. And so we see that work is good. God created us to work. God created us to shape the world. God created us to fill the world. And so, you know, a lot of times we start feeling like, oh, man, I got to do the chores. Do I really have to do the dishes? I did it yesterday. So-and-so's turn is to, you know, we can have a bad attitude towards work, but we need to be reminded that work is a way that we bless other people. If you don't do the dishes, everybody's eating dinner with dirty dishes, right? If you don't sweep the floor, it gets pretty nasty, right? So God created us to work. We need to recognize that and be joyful about it. You know what? There's a psalm that talks about work. Psalm 8. We have it on the screen. It's really neat because sometimes we don't like to work, and yet here, the psalmist, he's reflecting on God's goodness in providing work, and he's reflecting that God gave him the ability to have dominion over the animals. You know, how many people have to clean up after their animals? Anybody have a dog? You have to clean up after the dog? Yep. It can be kind of gross, right? You know, Dan has to clean up after his chickens, right? Yep. That's tough. That's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it, you know. It's not my favorite thing to go shovel the chicken stalls, but you know, you got to. You know, it's really neat. This is King David, and he is just celebrating what God allows him to do. He says, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You've made him a little lower than heavenly beings. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Just think about it. God has crowned you with glory and honor. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands. You cleaning the dishes, you're having dominion over the works of God's hands. But look what he celebrates. He said, you put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, the beasts of the fields, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. Isn't that neat? This is King David, and yet he is celebrating and just seeing the grace of God that he gets to care for ox and sheep. If you're caring for ox and sheep, you're having to shovel stalls, right? I mean, that's kind of, but he's just seeing, he's like, wow, this is amazing. I get to care for the things that God has made. You know, maybe you have to watch your little brother or sister. Man, it's work, it's hard, but it's also good. Man, you're getting to care for things that God has made. If you're caring for your pet lizard or your pet snake or your pet fish, you are caring for part of God's creation. It takes work doing that. And parents, think about your job. You know, you're home with the kids. Man, you're getting to care for God's creation. You're a dad. You're caring for God's creation. You go into the office and your company is asking you to, hey, there's something on this website. Our customer needs it fixed right away. man, that's an opportunity to do good to that person, to bring light and order and all those things to someone else. Your work is an opportunity to do good to others. It's hard. There's thorns and thistle that comes up. Things don't go your way. It's hard, but it's good. It's part of God's purpose. And so we need to see, as we talk about rest, there's a place to work. We need to work those other days. But we also see there's rhythms of work and rest. Rhythms of working, you know, even on a single day, you work and you rest that day, but also just patterns in life that we need to work. You work 6 days, you rest one. There's a day that you need to rest. And so I want to talk a little bit about some ways that we can rest. So we'll cover three ways that we can rest. First way to rest is just you don't work, right? You rest. You don't keep working. I know that may seem kind of, well, sure, you know, refrain from rest. Refrain from work. If you want to rest, don't work. You know, and that's literally the meaning of the Sabbath. When you read the Bible, it talks about Sabbath. Sabbath, it means to stop. It means to rest. So it's a day that you're not working. You know, if you think back then, there were a lot of farmers. Farming is hard work. You got to shovel the stalls. What else would a farmer have to do? Any ideas? Process chickens. Yes, that's correct. There's more behind that. We're not going to talk about that right now. Charlie, what else would a farmer do? Grow crops. Yep. Yep. What does he do once those crops are grown? Cuts them down. Probably puts them all and has to pick up these big, heavy things and haul them away. Yeah, what else? Ian? What's that? Harvest them. Yep. Cuts down the crops, loads them into the basket, puts them on the wagons and hauls them away. That'd be hard work, wouldn't it? Even just like pulling the animals around, trying to get them from place to place. There's a lot of hard work on that. So if you're a farmer, what are you going to do on your day off? Rest, like sleep, like not go out and haul heavy things, right? What else might you do? If you're a farmer, how would you rest? Cooper? Relax on the couch and watch TV. Guys, any amens? You know, you need rest. You need to recoup. Your body has, you know, just physically worn out. You know, I remember we've done some house projects. We're lugging all this lumber around and you're worn out. You need to rest. Yeah. You know, how do we rest today? You know, that's something that we may sometimes read the Old Testament and you look at what's going on there and they're more of an agrarian society. A lot of us, we're not physically carrying things. You know, a lot of us today, we do mental work, right? Think about, I need to write this email. I need to get on the computer and figure out this programming code. I need to get on and make sure all of my orders are running through the system and there's a bottleneck somewhere. How come this distributor hasn't gotten what I need? I need to call and talk to him and then I need to get with this guy and that guy. And you're working through that. A lot of our work today, it's more mental, right? We're constantly thinking. We're constantly thinking about how do I say this? How do I write this email? Talk about social media. What do I say? How do I get these things out there? We need to rest mentally at times, right? That's a big part of what we do. That's where, you know, a few years ago, you're hearing all this about mental health. And I was like, really? This just kind of, is this like for wimps or what's going on? And you just realize, it hit me one day. It's like, all of my work, it's mental. I'm constantly having to think. Constantly doing emails and all these, you need to pull away at times. You need to be refreshed. You need to rest your brains and give them a break. I actually heard somebody say recently, they were talking about, it was Chris Rock. What did he say? Yes, got to quote Chris Rock today. He's become popular again. He said, the world is addicted to opioids. No, the world's not addicted to opioids. The number one addiction in the world is attention. I heard that and I just thought, man, you know, people work so hard trying to bring attention to the business, bring attention to what's going on. Maybe just bring attention. You want your friends to know what's going on. That can be good. But we can work. And we never stop from that, do we? Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's good. But even good things can be work. We need to rest. We need to pull back. We need to rest our minds. So sometimes our minds are restless because our hearts are restless. We're thinking about other things, or we're wanting other things. We need to rest. Heard restless fingers reflect restless hearts. Sometimes we just need to do something different. You know, if you're doing mental work all day long, maybe you need to go build something with your hands. If you're building something with your hands all the time, maybe you need to sit down and just exercise your mind. Rest your body, exercise your mind. But we have to think about ways that we rest, and we have to think about rhythms of rest in our lives. We need to work 6 days, rest one. Now, I did want to mention this. I know as we talk about rest, you know, sometimes people are like, well, man, I've got to, you know, I'm running a business. I've got to go in. Does that mean that I can never go in on the Sabbath? What does that look like? Well, I thought we'd just have a kind of a brief moment just to talk maybe more for the adults. But, you know, it's really neat as you think about rest. You know, one of the things that happened with Jesus and the disciples, you guys remember Jesus was taking his disciples through the grain fields, and some of his disciples, they grabbed some grain and they started eating it. And what did the people say? Said, you're working. You broke the Sabbath. You just picked grain. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. How could you do that? You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's the Sabbath, you're resting, and you walk by the honeysuckle and you grab some and you eat a little bit. You're just like, wait, can I not do that? And it's really neat that in that time, Jesus, he came and said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What he's talking about there is that he changes the law. Jesus changes the law. There's some things like murder. Remember what Jesus said about murder? Is it just killing somebody? What else is it? Anybody? What's that? It's to hate someone. So it's not just to kill someone, it's to hate someone. Jesus changes the law. Same thing with adultery. It's not just physically doing that. It can be thoughts. And so Jesus does the same thing. He changes the Sabbath. We see that Jesus brings a new law. He's a new priest with a new covenant. He changes the law. What does he do with the Sabbath? Does he elevate it? He brings a laxity to it. And so where people would have been stoned for doing that before, Jesus says, no, no, no. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath serves our purposes. We don't serve the Sabbath just to serve it. God created this to be good. You guys are using it in a way to beat people up. And so it's really neat. There's a lot of, if you read some of the confessions of faith over the years, you'll see people talk about we're to rest on the Sabbath, but there are works of necessity. Sometimes you've got to work. Sometimes moms, you've got to cook dinner, or dads, you've got to cook dinner. You got to do those things. And so we see a pattern of work 6 days, rest one, but we also see that we're freed from a legalistic understanding of that. There are times that there are works of necessity. Maybe you have to run into the shop and say, hey, is this guy doing what he's supposed to? I just need to pop in and make sure things are okay. So you got to figure out, well, how do I make a difference? How do I distinguish those things? You know, one of the things is just, how are you valuing the Sabbath? Are you valuing that time away? Are you resting? Are you getting away? If you value it, you'll find times to make it happen. But we also, you know, Galatians says, you are called to freedom, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. We see that in Jesus, there is freedom. There's freedom to rest. There's freedom to work. But we want to make sure that we're not just using our freedom as an excuse to work without rest. We need to have healthy patterns in our way. Okay, so that's the first one. We rest. Another way, or we refrain from work. That's how we rest. A second way to rest is reflection. Do we have a next verse on that? Look at this. This is God at creation. God called the dry land earth, and he called the gathering of the waters the seas. And God saw that it was good. He looks at what he just created. It's like he admires it. He enjoys it. He's taken time to reflect on what's been done. Just take a moment. What have you accomplished this year? What have you accomplished this year? Anybody, any hands? Anybody learn something new this year? What'd you learn in school? What's something new that you learned? Anybody learn a sport? Maybe a new topic? Ian? You learned football. Played football for the first time? Not the first time, but you learned. You learned more about football. What are some others? Elizabeth.
I'm being serious. I learned that I don't know how to rest. Hmm.
That's good.
I learned how to burn the candle at both ends.
She learned how to burn the candle at both ends. She realized that she doesn't know how to rest. All right, so we're gonna make a little progress in that today.
Great.
All right, good. Good. That's great. What are some other things? Any other big kids? Any other adults? You learned something this year? Yeah, we'll skip that. Some lessons you don't. Anybody else? How about some teens? Isaac, Thomas, some teens. Learned how to do the camera. Learned how to use a camera. Anybody else? Lydia? You learned how to dance. Fantastic. You know what? And you know what? You go to dance class. Not that I've done it that often, but you know, you go to dance class and it's like sometimes it just feels really hard. Like I don't know these terms, I don't know these steps. And kind of each week it just feels hard. And then at the end of the year, you look back and it's like, man, I know a whole dance routine, right? Sometimes it's just, it's gradual. You know, don't regret that it's slow progress. Sometimes it's just, if you keep heading in the same direction and just do that over time, you're going to be much further away than when you first began. You know, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Hayden, what'd you learn? How to dribble a basketball. That's fantastic. Couldn't do that at the beginning of the year, and then you kept at it. And so the same thing, you know, there's just times that we need to pull back and reflect on what God has allowed you to do. Reflect on what has been accomplished. You know, maybe it's just like, man, you know, I look back a year, 2 years of COVID. It has been tough, you know, and it just felt like, you know, are we ever going to get out of this? And then we kind of are getting through it. I think we're done. I hope we're done. I'm just going to say we're done. I'm done. We're done. Okay. Amen. You know, it's like you just see that. Times you're wondering, are we getting out? What's going on? And you look back and you see how God has provided for you. And that's deeply encouraging because there's some other challenge you have that's in front of you. And if you don't look back to see how God has provided for you in the past, you're not going to have the faith to press forward with His future challenges. If you want to grow in faith for future grace, future challenges, look back on what He's done. Look back on His faithfulness. Just think about, maybe you've moved this last year, and you see, man, it's been hard, but God has provided for us. He's provided friends. He's provided a place to live. All of that. You need to be aware of that. And as you start sharing that, you know, just take time with family. Maybe get together tonight. Talk about it with your kids. Where do you see God at work? Reflect on that. Celebrate it. Reflection is just another way to say celebrate, right? Celebrate where you've seen your kids grow. Kids, celebrate where you've seen your parents grow. Maybe you're recognizing your mom is doing better at resting. Celebrate that. Share with one another. Third way to rest is edification. Edification. That's building things up. That's one of my favorite words. I know we've talked about it a lot, but edifying, it is building things up. It's like recognizing the wall is falling down. Hey, let me go nail some 2x4s to it. It's going to strengthen it. It's going to edify it. And this is one of the big things. We need to build one another up. We need to strengthen one another. So I'll need another volunteer for this. I've got to go to my cooler over here. I've got to get a couple spoons. And I've got to pull out my, never heard of this, but Tillamook? Anybody like Tillamook? What? Tillamook. Ah, I got it. Got it. I'm getting culture today. Got a little mint chocolate chip ice cream. And so I'm going to need somebody to help me with this. Let's see. I'm a little scared based on the intensity that I'm getting from this one. Okay, come on up, Hayden. All right. Here's your spoon. Can you really help me out with this? Do you have any allergies?
No.
You allergic to chocolate?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, this is my favorite ice cream. It's mint. Take a big bite. Mmm. Oh, man, that is so good. Did you taste that chocolate chip? There's a big chocolate chip right there. Everybody see it in there? You want to get that big chocolate chip? You got it? Isn't that good? You want another bite? Yeah, it's really good. We could do this all day long. I've got some burgers backstage, too. Do you want one of those? Is this good ice cream? No? Why not?
There's no ice cream.
There's no ice cream. All right. There's no ice cream. But I did have a... I didn't want to make enemies today. So there's a little treat. You can have that. And that's real. So here, I'll take the spoon. Good job. Good job, Peyton. Thank you. The point of that is that eating air does not satisfy our physical hunger, right? Just doesn't do it. Like eating sand doesn't satisfy us. We are spiritual beings. We need physical rest, but we also need spiritual nourishment. And if you're just trying to rest physically without nourishing yourself spiritually, it's like eating air. It's not what you need. God created us dependent on Him. We've got to find spiritual nourishment for our souls. We're physical beings. We stand up for a long time. We need rest. We're also spiritual beings. We have anxieties. We have worries. We have things that we're trying to do. Sometimes things just wear us out emotionally. How are we building yourself up? How are you building yourself up spiritually? This is one of the key things of biblical rest. Yes, it is refraining from work, but it's also that we're built up, that we are strengthened. And so, kids, I want you to think about that as Hayden was eating air and thinking it was ice cream. You may have a time in life where you spent the whole weekend playing video games. You thought, this is going to be the best weekend ever. I'm just going to play video games the whole time. I'm just going to watch movies the whole time. I'm going to skip everything else. I'm not going to church. I'm video games and eating cheese puffs. That's my weekend. And you get through that, and you just feel down, and you feel drained. Sometimes we go through life, and we're just so anxious with what's going on. I want you to be reminded that God created you a spiritual being, and you need to find encouragement in Him. You need to build yourself up. This is one of the key things. Do we have this verse? Remember the Sabbath day to what? To keep it holy. Right? You're to rest, but you're to keep it holy. It's a day that it's made holy. How do we make things holy? Set them apart. It's devoted to God. And so we need time that we not just rest, but we also devote it to God. This is why, guys, I know you want to take the day off and just do nothing but watch football. Do nothing but watch sports. That can be fun. It doesn't build you up. It doesn't strengthen you. We've got to find ways that we're being built up, and we do that by making the day holy. This is why the Christian tradition is that on Sundays, we gather as God's people. We gather to hear His word preached. We gather to hear His word sung. We gather to pray for one another, to pray for the nation. We're being built up. We're being strengthened. We realize we need to devote part of this day to the Lord. That's why Sunday, it's made holy by the corporate gathering of God's people. We need to make sure that's a priority in our lives. We find strength in that. We don't just need distractions. You know, movies can be distractions. Hey, I need to rest my mind. I'll watch a movie. It can be good. But if that's all we do, we're missing something. We don't just need to be distracted. We need to be built up. You know, a lot of times when life gets most demanding, we begin to crave other things. Sometimes we just crave distraction. We get distracted, but we don't really come up with a solution, right? Watching a movie, pulling away, that can be good. And maybe sometimes just that downtime, you come back and you look at things in a fresh way. But sometimes as we're dealing with relational issues, maybe marriage issues, those things, we need to rest, but we also need to make it holy. What does God say about this issue? What does God's word say about how I'm thinking through my marriage? What does God's word say about the challenges I'm facing at work? We need to have time devoted to that, devoted to understanding who He is and what He's doing. Sometimes distraction, too much of it, it's just a tool of the enemy. We're distracted and we never find real solutions to the things that we're going through. We need to find real solutions to those. So it's a day. We have a day that's different from others. Not just rest, but a day devoted to God. We rest in Him. We rest in knowing His word, seeing what He's done, being reminded of what He's done and what He's called us to do. Even today, being reminded that there's rest. You know, that reminds you of a couple things. Reminds you of your limitations. You need to acknowledge that. It also reminds you of who your God is. Like, God commands you to rest. He's not just a vengeful slave driver. He's a good heavenly Father. You know what? Hopefully when your dad, if he sees you getting tired, he's like, hey, take a break, rest. We're reminded of who God is. He cares about you. He is a good heavenly Father. We need to be reminded of those truths, reminded of who God is. We need to take time to do that. You know, sometimes it's just being together with other people. Heard one person talk about, he said, we are displaced beings today. And that can cause a lot of anxiety. What he's talking about that is we're displaced. We're kind of everywhere and we're nowhere, right? Hey, I'm going to chat with my friend in Ethiopia. Hey, I'm going to jump on Zoom or text my friend in France. Hey, you know, I've got a buddy that is in California. And it's like you can be there with your friends, with your family, but you're somewhere else, right? You never really rest with the people around you. Sometimes it's just pushing aside those distractions to be present with those around you, to recognize who God has put right in front of you, face to face. Enjoy that time. It's a way to be strengthened. It's a way to be built up. You know, one of the things in this passage is we talk about making the day holy. We're also reminded that it really is a family issue. It's not just to one person. Look at the next verse. Oh, I don't think I put it on there. Okay, I'll read it. This is later in Exodus. It says, on it you shall not do any work, talking about the Sabbath, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner within your gates. It's talking about it's for everybody, but it's also talking about that this command is to heads of households. It can be to business leaders. You know, when you give your employees a chance to rest, you're just recognizing, hey, they need refreshment. I can only push them so hard. I need to make sure I'm doing good to them. It's a reminder for you of how you lead and care for other people. It's also to parents, just making sure that, hey, yes, you could drive your kids to make sure they get that math done and they're doing math 7 days a week. But sometimes you realize they just need to rest. Need to realize that they are more than what they accomplish. Remember God called Adam to walk with him? That was the most important thing that Adam did. His biggest failure was not walking with God. It's a reminder, all of us, that we matter more to God just than what you accomplished for him. You're a child of God. He cares about you. Doesn't just care about you because he needs you to get X, Y, and Z done. If he needed X, Y, and Z done, he could get it done. Certain things he's entrusted to you, but you just walking with him, just being with him, that's more important. So we see there that parents, you observing the Sabbath has a blessing on everyone around you. If you're leading a business, you're leading other people, your leadership affects other people. All right, third thing, the source of rest. You know what? It can be really hard to rest because we've just got so much to do, right? I've got so much to do. I couldn't possibly rest. Well, this call to rest, it means that we have to make some priorities. It means there's certain things, you know, we're just going to have to disappoint people. And are you more comfortable disappointing God or your friend? More comfortable disappointing God or your boss? We have to figure those things out. We're called to rest. That means we need to rest in dependence on someone else. We realize what we can't do. We can't get it all done. If we're going to rest, it means we've got to realize, who is our God? Who are we serving? What are we trusting in? Am I just trusting in myself? If I'm trusting myself, I'll never find a good reason to rest. I love this quote by Julian of Norwich. Just something you could say to yourself. Probably you may have another scripture you can tell yourself, but I just thought this is great. Talking about rest, he said, but all will be well, and all will be well, and every kind of thing will be well. She's talking about we've got to rest in God. We've got to trust that even when my work is undone, even when my to-do list didn't get completed, all those things, I've got to rest in who God is. I've got to rest in being a child of God and trust him. I could work today. There's always more work to get done, but I'm just going to rest in who he is. We need to make sure our habits match our theology. We can talk about a God who is all-powerful, who is all-loving, knows the end from the beginning, is caring for us in everything, and then it never lines up with how we live. If we really believe in the God of the Bible, we should be able to rest at times and know that even if I don't get my stuff done, even if things don't go the way I would like, I'm gonna rest. I'm gonna take time off. I'm gonna reflect. I'm gonna try and encourage each other. I think sometimes our inability to rest is because we've lost the wonder of who God is. We've lost sight of his power. I love just thinking about the size and speed of the earth. Right now, the earth, I think it's 1.3 times 10 to the 25th power, pounds. It's that many pounds. And right now, we're hurtling through space at 65,000 miles per hour. You know, and the greatest baseball player can pick up a one-pound baseball and throw it 100 miles per hour, about 90 feet, right? Man, think about the magnitude of the earth and what's going on. That's power. We can rest in him. Think about as you read the Bible and you see that God, he knew the end from the beginning. He's a God who loves us and sent his son to die for us. Knows all of our needs, knows the hairs on our head. We can trust in him. We can rest in him. He gave his life for us. We can trust him. We can surely rest. We don't want to be deceived by the world, thinking that we just need to earn more, make more money. We don't want to forget who God is. We want to trust in him. You know, we're reminded that Jesus said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of rest. If you want to rest, you've got to trust in him. A lot of times you can't rest because you are trusting in other things, trusting in things that aren't going to provide for you. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. It means if you want to find rest, you've got to trust him. Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If you want rest for your souls, you find it in him. You know, look at the things that plague our society today. Anxiousness, fear. Those are some of the biggest things, you know. As much education as we have today, as much technology, these same things are what plague people in Jesus' day. If you're going to find rest for your soul, you have to find ways that you can trust God. In Jesus, we know that we can trust God. In Jesus, we know how perfect our Lord is. We know the requirements that he has of us. And we know that we will never meet those requirements. And then it's by grace. We can be forgiven. Forgiven for all of our mistakes. Forgiven for all of our shortcomings. Forgiven for all the things that we tried our best, but we just didn't get it done well enough. We can rest in him and who he is. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." That learn, that word learn, it's the same word that's used of the disciples. He's calling them into a life of discipleship. It means that you leave things behind and you follow him. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means that you are following Jesus. You are looking to him in all that you do in life. He is your source of strength, of inspiration, of rest. You're looking to him. You're following him. You're seeking to learn from him. It means that what he says matters. That's who you are ultimately serving. It means that you're not just living for your boss. You're not just living for school. You're living for him. You're following him. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about just kind of gets at the heart of where am I in my relationship with God. I remember when I first started going to a Bible study, my Bible study leader, he came up and asked me. He said, "If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell, and why do you believe that?" And I immediately broke it out into a sweat because I did not know how to answer that question. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell? Why do you believe that? I realized a lot of the anxiousness that I had in life was because I didn't have a good answer to that question. I didn't really know what Jesus had done. I didn't know that I could be forgiven for all of my sins. And I'd never really surrendered my life to him. You know, in Jesus, we have forgiveness. In Jesus, we can be pardoned for all the mistakes that we've made. But it also means that we come to rest in him. You know, it's like we had the kids up here, and they were trying to hold themselves up. Going through life without trusting in Jesus, it's like you're trying to hold yourself up. And almost all of you in this room right now are, you're sitting in your chair. You have put weight on that chair. You're trusting it to hold you up. And Jesus calls us to the same thing. Not just to acknowledge, hey, that chair is there. You know, if I were to say, hey, look at this stage. It's a nice stage. This will really hold you up. You get tired, you can sit on it. Say, well, Keith, why don't you sit down? It's like, no, I'm just kind of, I don't want to get my pants dirty. I'm worried about the stage. You're like, well, Keith, you know the stage is there. You can tell me all about the stage. You can tell me about all the colors, but you haven't put your weight on it. You haven't really trusted it. Till you put the weight of your life on Jesus, you're not really trusting him. You're not really following him. You can tell me all about it. Tell me things that he said, but you haven't really sat down and built your life on it. That's what Jesus calls us to do. He offers us salvation, but we've got to rest in him. We've got to follow him, and it means that we sit on him, that we put the weight of our lives on him, that what he says matters, and that we're resting in him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness in our lives. We see it in this passage, in these passages where we're reminded to rest. That as we come to you and we call you Lord, you have our best in mind. Sometimes you call us to do hard things, and sometimes you call us to rest. And God, I just pray for all of us here today that we would quiet our anxious hearts and that we'd receive from you. And then we just hear those words, rest. I pray for those that maybe struggle with that. I pray that you'd help them to see, as they are a child of God, sometimes they just need to sit at your feet, not doing anything else, but just learning from you. I pray you'd help them to do that. I pray you'd have some, just initiate good conversations in families where we can talk about how we rest together and what it looks like. God, I also want to pray for those that maybe they've never really rested in you. They've never put their whole self, their whole trust into Jesus. God, I just pray that you'd help them to see what that looks like, what they need to do. And I pray that as they do that, I just pray they'd experience a change, that they would see that much of their anxiety and fear and worry in life is because they're not truly trusting in you. Pray they see themselves like someone carrying a wheelbarrow, that they just have no way to carry all of that, and that they would just trust it to you. Pray you take a weight off of their shoulders, and I pray that they'd find out what it means to truly follow you, to truly be a disciple who is doing what you are calling them to do. Lord, we need refreshing. We pray that you would strengthen our bodies, strengthen our minds, and strengthen our souls because we need it. We are dependent on you, and we pray that you would fill us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.